You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have, like, a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hawks have led by as many as 18. Here's Bullock from three. And that will do it. Hawks take game three. Led by Trae Young, 105-94. Atlanta leads the series 2-1.
Yeah, the Knicks have to do some soul searching. The best defense in the league coming into the playoffs was shredded tonight by Young and the Hawks.
Okay, that's a final. Very frustrating night, obviously, for the Knicks, especially with the starting lineup change. Beforehand, a lot of energy, a lot of excitement about Derrick Rose starting. Obviously, it wasn't enough. I have a lot of thoughts about this game, and I'm just going to get them out right away because, let me tell you, and maybe some of them will be in this chat, there's going to be a lot of takes after this game. And I think there's going to be a lot of people with a lot of opinions, a lot of things to say, and they're going to be spouting off a lot of shit. And I don't want to hear any of it because I actually think this is really very simple. Before I get to all that stuff, let me just say, first and foremost, Derrick Rose, you know, this is now becoming one of the great, I don't know. It's becoming one of the great sports stories of my life, at least, watching a guy who was MVP and then literally out of the league. He was waived. He was waived. is the best player through three games, at least. He's the best player, and it's not close. He's the best player on a playoff team that is, you know, decent playoff team. They don't look at it tonight. But they're a decent playoff team, and he's the guy, and he's the man. And it's, again, unbelievable. I mean, the Knicks, let's just – and this is going to relate to my next point. The Knicks tonight had 29 field goals. Derrick Rose had 13 of them. Let me say that again. Derrick Rose had 13 of the Knicks' 29 field goals tonight. You cannot say enough about Derrick Rose. You cannot say enough about it. The story that this is becoming, that it is. Just an unbelievable job by him. You know, and we have, of course, our first comment here in the Super Chat. Hushu, can't wait for I've Got to Play Better from Randall. Hope they pause the Max talks for right now. Seems like a quiet arena for was better for Randall. Look, if you are going to watch this game and then watch the last two games and you're going to say, all right, 10 out of 12 quarters, Julius Randle has been pretty bad. He's been pretty bad. He hasn't been able to, let's actually reframe that because he hasn't played bad. He's shot bad. So Julius Randle has had 10 out of 12 quarters that he shot the ball really poorly. Still trying to play the right way. He's still not, like, being selfish or anything. He's trying to make the right plays for his team, which inherently involves some selfishness. Shot the ball bad for 10 of 12 quarters. A lot of people are going to be jumping off the bandwagon and ignoring what he did in the previous 71 games. You're not going to get that from me right here. If you want me to be like, oh, hold on, Julius Randle, maybe not the guy you want to, you know, have as the foundation of your team. I'm sure there's other live streams, post games, fucking places you can call in and bitch and moan about. Go there, because you're not going to see it here. That's first of all. Second of all, the Knicks just completed a game. Again, I have to just say this for emphasis, in which they shot 30% from three and 36% from two. And they faced a team in which that the team that they played shot 59% from three. So the team that they faced tonight shot literally twice as well as the Knicks did from three and 52% from two. And this was a single digit game in the, excuse me, not a single digit game in the end. This is an 11-point game. This is an 11-point final score in which, again, the team that they played shot 50% for over 50% from two and almost 60% from three. And this was an 11-point game in which they only gave up 105 points. So now is the time that I say the thing that's going to get me a lot of shit, but I'm going to say it anyway. Say it anyway. The Knicks didn't play badly tonight. The Knicks shot abysmally tonight. The Knicks obviously could not buy a bucket. We could talk about why they shot abysmally tonight. We could talk about who shot abysmally tonight. We're going to talk about all of that. But that's all they did tonight. They shot as badly as the Knicks can shoot, with the exception of one guy. The Hawks, again, literally shot as good as an NBA team can shoot. And you want to tell me it was because of shitty Knicks defense? Well, no, it wasn't because of shitty Knicks defense, because if it was shitty Knicks defense, the Hawks would have scored 135 points instead of 105 points. The Knicks defense is predicated on giving up threes and getting out and contesting those threes so that they're not wide open, which the Knicks did, and they ran out on those threes. And guess what? The Hawks hit all those threes. They made a gamble. It didn't pay off. We've seen this happen before this Knicks season. And guess what? The Knicks get blown out in those games, and they didn't get blown out tonight, which is what I find so astounding. I'm sitting here and I'm talking about this game in which, by all indications, the Knicks should have lost this game by 30, and they lost the game by 11. I can't explain it because, again, no one on this team is giving you any confidence on offense right now. But I feel really good going into game four. I know that sounds insane, but I feel really good going into game four because I think the Knicks still have a sound game plan against this team, and it is going to require them at some point, obviously, to hit some shots. Now, I will offer one other caveat. The reason why the Knicks were picked to win 21 and a half games before the season started, and the reason why, even when they were winning along the way, you know, even right up until the playoffs, people were like, this isn't real. Is because they have less shot creation than any team in the NBA. Let me say that one more time. The Knicks have less shot creation than any team in the NBA. Julius Randle is not a shot creator. Julius Randle is someone that manufactured offense based on the fact that he turned into a 42% three-point shooter and a 47% long mid-range shooter overnight. And because of that, he was able to draw defenders up on him. And when he drove the ball, the whole defense collapsed, kicked it out, guys were firing away, everybody was making shots. When you suddenly take away Randle's ability to make those shots and you take away the ability of the three-point shooters on this team to hit those shots, guess what? Your offense is going to go to shit. And the Knicks' offense has gone to shit, which is why, for as much as everybody was excited over the last several weeks about, oh, let's go forward with this team and let's not add anybody crazy and let's do this, this, and the other. No. The Knicks need to add another supremely talented player. They need a shot creator. That much, if anyone was off that train, I hope you're back on that train now. They need another guy. They need a guy that can create offense for himself because they don't have one right now, except for Derrick Rose. And that was exploited tonight because we saw what could happen when a team bears down on defense in their own building, which the Hawks give them all the credit in the world. This is all going to be about what the Knicks didn't do on offense and what the Knicks couldn't do on offense and the shots they couldn't hit and this, that, and the other thing. Hawks played outstanding defense tonight. outstanding defense tonight. Yes. Does it help that they didn't have to double anyone because they were just like, all right, if Derrick Rose is going to score 45 points and beat us, let him score 45 points and beat us. We're going to stay home on everybody else and let everybody else do what they're going to do. And if they, you know, yes, that helped. But the Hawks played really good defense. Give them, give credit where credit is due. Were the Knicks tentative? Absolutely, the Knicks were tentative. Emmanuel quickly fired away 1-3. R.J. Barrett is a shell of himself right now. He's 20. He's going to be fine long term. This is not indicative of what he is as an NBA player. This is not indicative of what he's going to be as an NBA player. Right now, he's all kinds of in his own head. Can't get out of there. And as far as Julius Randle, look, Julius Randle's shot has abandoned him for all intents and purposes. He's a little bit in his own head, although maybe it's famous last words. I still feel like he is going to figure it out. There is something about how he's going about his business that makes me think that he is going to figure it out. And maybe I'm just buying a little bit too much into the previous 72 games, and I'll be wrong. I think he's going to figure it out. I just think he's in a bit of a slump right now. I do not think the playoff pressure is getting to him. I think he's just – he is not adjusting well to how the Hawks are guarding him, and he needs to figure it out. Is he going to figure it out this series? I have no idea. Maybe it is. Maybe he isn't. I don't feel like the series is over. I feel like the Knicks could still get buckets in certain ways, and we've seen them do it. They didn't happen tonight, and I get that. But if you give me just a little bit of – shred of light from a couple of guys moving forward. Quickly, RJ, Bullock start knocking down some threes. Bullock was tentative tonight. All of these guys played their worst games tonight. And again, it was an 11-point game. And the Hawks hit everything. I can't help but be a little bit hopeful after that. And maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe everybody in here thinks I'm an asshole, which is fine. It wouldn't be the first time. Let me get to some of the stuff in the super chat as I open up Tibbs, and I have a feeling it's going to be a short one tonight. Don Cappuccini, house money, LOL. House money is right. Rose has to come back, and maybe Vildoza is an improvement from Payton. I mean, thank God we didn't see Alfred Payton tonight. I have to say, very quickly, I saw in the pregame, Wally Szczerbiak said something to the effect of like, Alfred Payton's still going to have a big role tonight. That didn't work out for you. Maybe they focus the money on a second scorer, wing guard. Yeah, I mean, that's what they need. There's no question about that. Varun Jain, Karma and all will come back to the Hawks. Bogdan asking for a replay, and they acting all tough. Taj and Tibbs going to run it back on Sunday. We win, I guarantee it. I think they're going to win the game on Sunday. I think they're going to win the game on Sunday. I'll say it right now. I'll go all Patrick Ewing on you. There he is. Patrick Ewing's right there. I think they're going to win the game on Sunday. We'll see.
Recording in progress.
No, that's very nice. Josh Levin. Any chance Tibbs goes back to Payton to keep? No, that ship is sailed. Payton, let me say it right now. Alfred Payton's never going to play another minute for the New York Knicks. Or does that all really not matter if Randle doesn't play better? Yeah, I mean, this I don't think – like, look, let's – again, I didn't think I needed to say that this at the top, but let me just say it very clearly. If Tibbs doesn't start Derrick Rose in this game, or Derrick Rose, you know – actually, no. If Tibbs doesn't start Derrick Rose in this game, I think they lose this game by 25. Rose is the reason they were in the game. I don't know – the conversation about did the move not work, I think that's very silly. If anybody actually has that take, they're like, oh, they fucked up because they started Rose. I think that's about as dumb as a take as you can have. Stevens Guillaume, Payne. Yeah, you know what? It's fine. Andrew, again, peering behind the curtain, texted me before the game. He's like, are you angry or sad? And I'm like, I'm neither. I don't know what I'm – what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to be angry about the fact that they're missing shots? Okay. I guess. It happens. It happens. They're shooting really badly. RJ is in his own head. I don't think it's Randle. Again, agree to disagree with me. Robert McGinley, silver lining, win or lose, the series is exposing some flaws, which is a good thing. rather have that than fool's gold and a complacent offseason. Let's go Knicks. Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody running this team was under any kind of illusions that they were something that they're not. Win or lose, or whatever they did in this series. Like, they know they need more help. I see somebody said Tibbs apologizes. What do you want Tibbs to do? Seriously, what do you want Tibbs to do? Tell me, folks at home. What do you want Tibbs to do? Do you want Tibbs to pull a shot creator out of his ass? Yeah, he's a good coach. I don't know if he can do that. You know, yeah, there's going to be people like, how do you not attack Trae Young? Guess what, folks? If you hide Trae Young on Reggie Bullock in the corner over here, that means it's on Reggie Bullock ultimately to do something. Because there's one of two options. Either Reggie Bullock does something off the dribble, which Reggie Bullock can't do. And whether it's Reggie Bullock in the game or quickly off the game or Burks in the game, whoever. There's always – or RJ even in the game. There's always – but they didn't put Trae on RJ, actually, because he could have done something. That player has to do something off the dribble. That's not – the Knicks don't have that personnel. So then the alternative is, okay, you bring that player up and you try to switch it up top, and you try to get Trae Young in a switch against whoever the fuck, Derrick Rose, Julius Randle, whatever. In order to do that, the Hawks have to be worried about the player making a three from behind the arc, and no one on the Knicks can make a three right now. I'm sorry, but Tibbs is a good coach. He's not a fucking magician.
Everyone, coaches here, if you have a question, raise your hand and I'll unmute you. Mike Vaccaro?
How confident are you in the way you guys have been resilient this year, that specifically Julius and RJ can bounce back and be a good
scorer? Mike, you fit in and out on that. Can you repeat that, please?
Yeah, I said, so you guys have been resilient, so you're confident in you, that specifically RJ and Julius can bounce back? Yeah, I'm very confident in both guys. You know, I see the way they work. And, you know, I thought we got off to a decent start in the first quarter. And then I want to take a look at what happened in the second. You know, I thought we didn't close the second the way we would have liked, and that set us back, and that gave them confidence and sort of changed the game there. So, you know, we have to fix that.
Ian Bagley?
Tom, outside of that second half of game two, it seems like Julius has been struggling. Why do you think, you know, we haven't seen the same Julius in the postseason yet that we saw in the regular season?
Well, they loaded up on him pretty good. So, you know, when a team does that, when they put two and three guys on you, you got to make the play. And either you got to get easy buckets, you know, transition, or off driving kick. You got to keep moving around. And so, you know, and he's seen a lot of that this year, but when you have a second and then the third guy, you know, that can make it tough, but that should lead to the offensive rebounding. It should lead to the open threes on the backside. So we got to trust the pass.
Mark Berman?
Hey, Tom, what finally led you to start Derek? And do you feel that it was worked out?
Well, you know, the thing is he's been playing basically starter minutes for a while. So I think the big thing was the start of the games, trying to get off to a good start, particularly on the road. But then, you know, then we had the problem in the second quarter. So we got to take a look at that.
Steve Popper.
Tom, some of the things you talked about before the game with Derek inserted in there about how he can open things up maybe for Julius stuff. It looked like he did some of that, but you guys still didn't convert. Did you feel like he did the things he needed to do?
Yeah, and it's not just him. It doesn't fall on just one guy. You know, it falls on, you know, we have a number of guys that can make plays, but anytime the second defender comes, it's usually not the first pass, it's the second pass that is going to get you the wide open shot. So we can't hold on to the ball. We can't allow the clock to
That's run very true. They held on to the ball a shit ton tonight.
Decisions. We got to move. And then we got to play with intensity. I thought our defense in game two was vital because it got us into the open floor got us some easy buckets. And I didn't think we ever really got our defense going in this game. And we have to understand, you know, the intensity we have to bring to each game.
Steph Bundy.
Hey, Tom. You know, you and Julius have said there's been no defense that he hasn't seen yet. And he's been, you know, he's been able to respond to a lot of those defenses a lot better than this. Why has he been unable to crack what Atlanta's been doing?
Well, like I said, they're loaded up pretty good. It's not just the second guy; it's the third guy also.
Twice got hit shots.
And when that happens, the big thing is to get rid of the ball, make plays early. You know, and when you do that, and you know, usually you can get really high percentage shots off of that. And you know, with your primary scorers, that's what you want. When you get the second defender on the ball, their responsibility is to get rid of it, to make plays for their teammates. Because anytime you have two on the ball, that means you have an advantage on the backside. And whether that's a wide open shot, a drive, or the second shot, there are a lot of good things that come off of that.
Mike Morkanoff.
Tom, their three-point shooting tonight, you know, 59%. Why do you think they had that kind of success? Was it just hitting shots, or was it the way that Trey was kind of creating open?
Yeah, compilation, Mike. I think that the ball got into the paint. I thought they made a second penetration. I thought they shared the ball well. You know, I want to take a look at, you know, the execution of what we were trying to do. We allowed that first pass out pretty quick. So, you know, we got to take a look at that as well.
Yeah.
Last question, Chris Harry.
Hey, Tom. I guess I wanted to ask you, you kind of alluded to it a little bit with just the decision on Derek and kind of how making him available so early to start a game, obviously, that pays dividends, but at the same time, it kind of makes stuff a little bit more difficult with the second quarter. You guys, I think, got more out of your offense than really anybody expected. The team, on some levels, had a season that very few people expected. Do you feel like in some ways you kind of have to, you're squeezing as much as you possibly can out of the team, and kind of where is the team stealing?
He's not going to say that, but yeah.
You guys have done, sure you feel like you can get more out of Julius and RJ with different looks and stuff like that.
And I trust that we will. I see the way these guys work every day, and I see how they approach things. And their attitude is very upbeat, and their work ethic is second to none. So we're disappointed, obviously, in the way we play. And we'll take a good hard look at it and come back with more determination in the next game. And, you know, we have great belief in each other. Like, that our bench is very good. But they went through an adjustment in this game also. So we have to settle that down. And hopefully we'll play better on Sunday.
Thank you, Coach.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, literally can't play worse. So that's a good sign. I thought in terms of the stuff that you're saying about in terms of Julius getting the ball out, the key was when you get two on the ball. Julius, there was one on the ball for most of the night. It was Gallinari playing up on him, and Julius couldn't do anything. Or whether it was Gallinari or whoever else. But, yeah, I mean, I feel for him because it's the first time I think he feels like the shot's not there. So he's struggling with this balance between, like, all right, I got to get myself going, but at the same time, I got to get my teammates going, and yet the teammates aren't hitting shots. It's not an easy go of things right now for Julius. I refuse to believe that everything that we've seen over in course of the season is just going to go away. I think he's going to figure it out. Famous last words, maybe. All right, let's get back to the Super Chat. Nick Moy, longtime listener, first-time Super Chat. Welcome, Nick. Picked a great night to make your debut. Love the work that you do. Thank you very much. Was hoping for the W, me too, but hey, that's just how it is. Yeah, that is how it is. Very frustrating night. Incredibly frustrating night. I'm frustrated. Don't get me wrong. I'm frustrated. But, oh, wait, here's Julius. Okay, here we go. We'll get back to the Super Chat
Julius
again.
Julius Randall, sir, if you have a question, raise your hand and I'll mute you. Ian Bigley.
Julius, how would you assess kind of what you saw out there tonight from you guys and just from yourself?
at least had one bad stretch in the second quarter, about 5-6 minutes ago, and that was the difference of the game.
Mark Berman?
I guess, you know, this was the most hostile crowd you've faced all year. Did you guys adjust to playing on the road against the, you know, close to a packed house?
No, I don't think we're really worried about the crowd. Just worried about what's going on the court. How do we adjust to your wins? We can do that to the Phillies out of the next game.
Hey, Korkunov.
Julius, you and both Tibbs have been saying that you've seen these defenses before all season long. I mean, is there anything that the Hawks are doing differently? And if not, then why do you think the results are different this time around?
We've got to adjust. And we will. So I'll just leave it at that.
Steph Bondi.
Hey, Julius, when they're loading up, how much of it is on you to get rid of the ball faster? Or make the quicker play?
It's on me, but it's on me. I gotta find a way to read down less a little bit better.
Steve Popper?
You guys shuffled the lineup today. Derek obviously offensively became a big. What kind of difference did it make having him there? Did that help at all with you?
Good game. You know, he's tough on a pick and roll. Was able to get downhill and attack, so he's definitely a threat, obviously. And you know, it's up to me, other guys, we all got to play better. So,
last question, Bobby Childs.
Julius, back to the second quarter. What did you see there? Was it more on the offensive side for you guys or defensive side that allowed him to get that right?
I think a little bit of both. Offense got a little stagnant.
Yes.
Long rebounds, turnovers a little bit, and they were able to get out of a couple threes and busted the game over.
Thank you, Julius.
He ain't wrong. Okay, let's get back to the Super Chat here. CT Pittman, patron saint of the Super Chat, CT. These are lessons. Remember, we weren't supposed to be here. Damn Skippy. No one expected us to win 41 games. This is part of the growing process. Got to take the ups and the downs. Still proud of these guys. I'm proud of them, too. Again, I've not the first time I'll be accused of being a Knicks apologist or a Tibbs apologist or an apologist. But I don't know. They're figuring out how to win in the playoffs. It's really hard to win in the playoffs, especially when you're going against a team that has a guy that really, you know, can't be guarded. At least the Knicks don't really have the personnel to guard him, and I'm not sure there's too many teams that do have the personnel to guard him. And they're hanging tough. Varun Jain. Seeing Taj calm RJ down was amazing. I mean, Taj Gibson, I haven't talked about him yet, but as good a game as you could possibly expect. I know he didn't end up shooting the ball that well, but I got belief we got the right mentors to tide us through this. Yeah, for sure. I mean, whether they win the series or not, you watch tonight, and obviously as frustrated as you are at what you saw, this does not strike me as a team that's coming apart at the seams. This strikes me as a team that is really having some struggles with what Atlanta is doing on defense. And they just haven't been able to figure it out. And the question is, will they? And again, I think some of it's just going to come down to hitting shots. J-Prov, my fear with Rose starting was you lost your advantage with the bench scoring. Not popular, but start Frank in Elf's minutes and ride Rose in the second half. I love Frank Ntilikina.
Recording in progress. Right. Derrick Rose is here. If you have a question, raise your hand and I'll unmute you. Mark Berman.
I have a question.
Hey, Derrick. Just you got the start tonight. When did you know you were starting? And how did you think that all worked out?
I found out this morning at Warp Group. And
blowing up Tim's spot. Tim said he didn't know who was starting before the game.
Found out this morning.
That's
just
great.
Just had to get prepared for it. Be right. And, that was about it.
Ian Bagley.
Derek, what do you think hurt you guys this tonight in Atlanta? I mean, it seemed like defensively, they got it going from three. How did you see it?
The second quarter, I think that but we're not making shots. We still got to find a way and to play with that consistent like urgency and that effort. They did a great job with finding guys on the second pass, hockey assists. If it wasn't the second pass, they were driving the ball on the second pass and just creating havoc. And we just got to make an adjustment.
Helps you to make shots.
Derek, Tom was saying in that vein on defense that maybe guys were not, the intensity was not where it needs to be. Did you feel that today, that maybe whether it was the crowd, whatever it was, that you guys didn't seem up to that today?
Yeah, it was the second quarter, I think. The first quarter kind of played decent. The second quarter, that's when everything kind of fell apart and they gained confidence. And it was around the time that we wasn't making shots.
That's true.
We outscored this 20-something. High 20-something to like 12 or 13 or something like that. And we just got to find a way to just grind it out, but we're not making shots. We can't, like I said, we can't play lackadaisical on the defensive end if we know that we're not getting easy baskets. Do anybody know how many fast break points we had today?
Zero.
Oh, we had zero. So yeah, I mean, in the playoff games, you got to find ways to get an easy basket. And tonight they did a great job with getting back. And I think that we didn't look to push the ball in the open court enough, especially when it was missing.
Yes, please.
Steph Bondi.
Derek, all season, you guys have been relying on Julius and RJ kind of as your 1-2 punch.
It's not really true, but
they've, you know, it hasn't been the case in the playoffs so far. What do you see there? Why isn't it happening the way it's it did in the regular season for those two?
You know, I really can't put a finger on it, bro. They're doubling from weird spots. They're coming from sometime the top, sometimes mostly baseline, but if they make a move towards the top, their guys are doing a good job of just being in right there or just making sure they don't get a clean lane or a clean look. And that's what I mean, fast break points. Like when you know that teams are keying in on you like that, we got to find ways to get you or get them to easy basket or anybody easy basket. And you get it mostly in the open court when the defense isn't set and when they don't have when they're not locked in on you like the way they've been.
Interesting.
Derek, you guys have tried, it seems like, a bunch of different coverages and pick and roll defenses against Trey, and today it seemed like he even didn't wait for the screen to come. Is there anything else that you guys could try to slow him down? And just what have you thought of the way he's playing?
Scored, give him 105 points.
I agree. But no, I think we got a few more coverages. But they was just knocking down shots. I think they shot about halftime. They was 50%. Wasn't talking. Wasn't making the second. Or I wasn't. I know a few times I didn't make the second or third. To contest shots. And if you're not making them plays,
Derek's the best, man.
Team like this, there's no way you're going to win games. So.
Last question, Jamie Harris.
Derek, you've seen Julius play with so much confidence this season, but do you sense him being a little hesitant and losing confidence in his perimeter shot?
It's a good question.
I wouldn't say that. It's just that he got to make smart decisions. Like right now, he's getting off the ball early. I think throughout the game, he has to pick and choose when to pick his spots. And like I said, it goes back to getting out early. You have to get out early so that he can get lost within the game. And
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
They don't have all the eyes on them when we're in the half court, so got to find easy ways to get them baskets or good looks.
Thank you, Derek.
Thank you, Derek. Look at this guy. Has as good a just an utterly unbelievable game. And
recording stopped.
And he talks about how he didn't make enough of an effort on some plays to get out on defense. What a fucking second round pick and Dennis Smith Jr. We got this guy for. Unbelievable. So we left off with J Prob. I'm gonna keep getting back to the super chat. Here's the thing. As everybody just said, they lost this game in the second quarter. But if you look at it, they lost this game in the second quarter when the starters came back in. I thought the bench was, it was fine. Did they lose a little bit without Rose in there? Yeah, of course they lost a little bit. But if you put Frank in with the starters, think about this. If you put Frank in with the starters and you try to survive 5 or 6 minutes with Frank and this version of Julius and this version, like, they need to try to get Julius going. And they need I don't know if it's going to happen this series. They need to try to get RJ going. And just the offense going. And, like, if you put in Frank in there, that's like, this is not going to happen. If you want to give me a couple minutes of Frank with the second unit here or there, that's fine. But I don't know where the answer is, but I love Frank Nilkina. He's not the answer. Your boy Benz, Mac, I love you, but if we give Julius the praise, he could then be criticized. Absolutely should be criticized. We criticize him up and down. I'm more about, like, it. I think he just needs to hit shots. He's been terrible because he's not hitting shots. I'm not criticizing his decision-making process. I don't feel like the looks that he's taking are terrible looks. I feel like the ones that are borderline bad looks, and there's definitely been some borderline bad looks for Randall, are because he's trying to get himself going. And where's the balance? Where's the balance for Julius between trying to get yourself going and just trying to get off the ball early, as Derek was just saying? And I don't know the answer to that question. Right, obviously, he hasn't struck it yet. But I think he's in his own head. He's trying to figure it out. But I don't – you know, I've been frustrated with players before who just, like, I feel like they're abandoning the offense because they are just looking to get buckets. I don't feel that that's what I'm seeing when I'm watching Julius Randle. Maybe that's just me, but, like, you guys know me. I'll be critical of a player if they deserve it. I just feel like Julius is trying to figure it out. We can't blame Elf all the time. He has not had a good series. As far as, yeah, he's had a terrible series. He's had a bad series. No question. Adam 2YB, if Burks hits that three to make the league 9, we win. I mean, it felt like there were at least a half dozen instances where either if we make a shot or Atlanta doesn't make a shot, maybe, just maybe, this is a different game. And none of them went our way. We didn't hit any of them, and they hit all of them.
You guys here, if you have a question, raise your hand and I'll unmute you.
Goodness.
Mike Orkinoff.
It's RJ.
RJ, you guys shot
36.7% from the floor tonight. And it seems like the Hawks defense has been overloading Julius, especially all series. Is there anything you guys you think you can do adjustments wise to create easier shots for yourselves?
Honestly, just, you know, driving kicks, just continuing to do that. I think we also are getting a lot of good shots. I know I'm getting a lot of good shots, a lot of wide open threes that I need to make. Yeah, that's about it.
Dan Bingley?
RJ, for you, is it just a matter of missing open looks, or is there something that Atlanta's doing to slow you down, or what are you seeing out there from yourself?
I'll see it. I'm open. It's got to make it.
Steve Popper?
RJ, on the other end, Tom was saying he thought maybe that second quarter, especially maybe the intensity defensively kind of lagged a little. Do you guys think the shooting troubles maybe got guys frustrated or something?
I wouldn't necessarily say that. I think, you know, it was like a tie game with like, I don't know, 5 minutes left in the second. And then they kind of went on a run. I mean, runs happen. You know, we can't let them do that. You know, we got to continue to fight. And there's no way this would be, you know, going on a crazy run like that, scoring that many points.
Mark Burnish.
Hey, RJ. Yeah, they really showed their three-point shooting tonight. I mean, how difficult was it? Was it defense, or they were just making great shots? And what's the mood of the team right now? This was kind of a blowout for the second half.
It's an 11-point fucking game, Mark.
We didn't. They won the game.
Steph Bondi.
RJ, the playoffs here are, you know, not only the intensity ratchets it up because postseason, but now all of a sudden there's a crowd, whereas there wasn't before. How much does shot making have to do with pressure and being able to handle that?
That's a good question.
I don't know. I mean, a crowd's a crowd. You know, we play basketball. We've been doing this since we were kids. A crowd is not.
I like Steph's questions.
A crowd's not going to stop us from playing basketball. You know, we'll come back next game, you know, we'll be ready.
Last question, Tom Marion.
Okay, how much of an adjustment was it to have a new starting lineup tonight?
Sorry, I didn't really hear that.
How much of an adjustment was it to have a new starting lineup tonight?
To have who? Was a different starting lineup. I think we started the game out pretty good. I mean, we had a good first quarter. We're up at the end of the first quarter. So, I mean, you know, it doesn't really matter whoever we have out on the court. I mean, that's who it is. And we got to go with that. We got to trust the coach. We got to trust each other and just go out and execute.
Thank you, RJ.
Thank you, RJ. He's going to be fine. I've been very critical of RJ over this year at different
recording
points
stopped.
At different points during this year. I think RJ is going to be all right. I think RJ is going to be all right. We'll see. I could be wrong, but we'll see. All right. Adam2YB. Yeah, here we go. I read that comment already. Mongu Sun. Our dark horse has been playing well in Hunter without the injuries. He has been playing as good as RJ this year. Our dark horse has been playing well. And yeah, I mean, Hunter has made a huge difference. And that's why, you know, when Hunter was obviously out for the second two games. He was in for the first game, but it was under Lloyd Pierce. And Bogdan Bogdanović wasn't really a part of the rotation. He was a part of the rotation, but they hadn't figured out how to use Bogey yet, and it was a very poorly coached team at that time. Hunter being back made a huge difference. I thought the fact that Atlanta was able to put Hunter on Derek in the second half, especially, was absolutely massive. They put Hunter on. I noticed at first at the in the second quarter, and then I think they put him on him a fair amount in the second half as well. DeAndre Hunter is a fucking badass defender, and that you have that luxury. And that's why it's a trickle-down effect, which goes back to the first thing I said at the beginning of the live stream, or close to the beginning of the live stream, which is that's why you needed another shot creator. And why, I've sung Reggie Bullock's praises up and down. He's been a massive addition. But that spot, if RJ is going to have these struggles and you're going to play a traditional five, then in the Reggie spot, that's where you're going to get your guy who can become a matchup advantage. I mean, hopefully RJ becomes this in due time, where, you know, you can't hide Trae Young on someone, but, you know, it's tough. They just don't have a lot of guys to create matchup advantages, which is why you heard everybody say when you get two on the ball, maybe you got to have guys to create matchup advantages. And that's been Julius all year, and he's not really been able to do that because he's not hitting shots. It's all, you know, it's all interconnected, unfortunately. Michael Queller, it's obvious that Tibbs' issue is offense. He literally can't figure out how to get his best player going on offense. Thank God I didn't make a baby, LOL. I don't know, again, what is Tibbs supposed to do to get Randle going? I mean, the Knicks had the best offense in basketball for over a month this season. Think about that for a second. The New York Knicks, had the best offense in basketball for over a month this season. The man could coach offense, but when you get in a playoff series and you get somebody who can game plan against you and scheme against you and know exactly what they're going to see, and they obviously studied the tape on Randle, and they're like, all right, well, if he beats us this way, he'll beat us this way, but we're not going to – that's what we're going to give him. You know, just like the Knicks are giving if Trae Young's going to make a floater, Trae Young's going to make a floater. That's what we're going to give him. Well, guess fucking what? Trae Young's making floaters. Guess what? Julius Randle's not making tough shots. He's made tough shots all year long. He's not making them right now. The Knicks are down 2-1. And to be honest with you, they should probably be down 3-0. Okay. Well, let's keep it going. CT Pippen, my main man, CT Pippen. Knicks fans, calm down. I love you, CT. The doom and gloom when we lose is aggravating. It aggravates me something fierce, which is why I'm surprised, you know, anybody still tunes into me, because I just get angry sometimes when people get mad at these losses, when it's like, you know, I don't want to go on a rant, but just like, imagine being a Clippers fan right now. Imagine being a Clippers fan, where you came into the season as like you were a title co-favorite, more or less. And like, you know, or imagine being, I'm trying to think of another team, you know, the Heat to a certain extent. Like, this is, I get that it's not satisfying to sit here and be like, it's house money because we're here and you want to produce and you want to perform. But talent wins in the NBA. You know, you could only manufacture so much. You could only scheme so much. At the end of the day, you need guys who could do stuff. Again, which is why, say everything, you know, we laugh at them, but it's, you know, Brooklyn Nets, king of culture, right? Culture, scheme, Atkinson. They got a plan. They had to shoot a bunch of threes, all this bullshit. Guess what? All that shit went out the window when they had a chance to get fucking, you know, James Harden. And when KD was like, yeah, get this fucking coach out of here. Because at the end of the day, that's what wins in the NBA. You know, it's unfortunate, but it's true. You know, I know that's not altogether satisfying to hear right now, but it is what it is. Anyway, these are professionals. No one is going to lay down. They're not going to lay down. I really do think they're going to win game four. This is the NBA, not going to win them all. David Crockett. Atlanta still hasn't played a great fourth yet. Just got to keep it close. Yeah, I completely agree. I think the Knicks will keep game four close late, and I think they're going to win game four. I'm going to say it again. Robert Cross, Randle, and Barrett are too tight. Very much agree. Period. Nothing else to say here. Yeah. I mean, again, I'm saying it in 18 different ways. The Knicks lost a game by 11 in which they gave up 59% on threes, and their two leading scorers this season combined to shoot 4 for 24. 4 for 24, not to mention Alec Burks, 2 for 8, Reggie Bullock, 3 for 8, Emmanuel Quickley, 2 for 8. And they lost by 11. You know, it's got to make shots. King Ace, Randall playing hot potato with the ball was painful. Again, we got a comment here. He's playing hot potato with the ball. We got other, you know, people saying he's forcing it too much. He's not a good place. It's what happens when you're in a slump. Forgotten NYC. Got to give some credit where credit's due. Hawks have completely neutralized Julius and RJ. I mean, I think RJ, it's more Julius than RJ. They have basically constructed a defense to stop Julius Randle and said, hey, everybody else, just stay home on your guys. We're going to shade him. We're not going to double him. We're going to shade him. When they double him, he passes the ball, and they're flying out like hell to prevent open shots. And the Knicks are tentative, and it's not just RJ who's tentative. Actually, RJ is the one guy who's really not tentative. Quickly's been tentative. Reggie's been tentative. Alec has been a little tentative. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Those are your guys. I'm just hoping that Game 5 in MSG isn't an elimination game. I don't think it will be. Andre Talmadge, if we get anything close to regular season Randall, we won't lose another game. Listen, at this point, you just got to hope to get it to Game 7. I said before the game on multiple platforms, I said I thought this was a borderline must-win game. They didn't win it. Am I going to sit here now and say they're going to lose the series? No, I'm not going to say that. I think if they win Game 4 after – that's why series are funny. In the manner they lost this game, if they can now come back and win Game 4, I think they're in a good spot. Not a great spot, a good spot, if they could win Game 4, because then you feel like, oh, my God, we've played like dog shit, utter dog shit, for 3 games, and we'll see what they do in Game 4. If they could figure out a way to win Game 4, you could say we played like dog shit for pretty much 3 games, and we have home court advantage back. So I'm going to feel really good if they win Game 4, and again, I think they're going to win Game 4. Hush Zoo. I know I sent a pretty negative super chat. It's okay, Hush. I'm sorry. I went off on you a little bit. That's my bad. Just know the season is still a success no matter what happens. Completely agree. Just a bit of an overreact. I mean, look, we're all in our feelings right now. I get that this – I don't know. I feel bad because I everybody was so hyped before this playoffs. And while I was excited, you know, there's a reason I was like, this series is going to be really hard. Because I kind of, you know, you knew this could come. You knew this could come. It's a really good fucking Hawks team. So, you know, I don't blame anybody for being disappointed. I don't blame anybody for being disappointed. I'm disappointed too. But they're not done yet. They're not done yet. They have not played badly. They have shot horribly. They have not played badly. Even if they could ramp up their defensive intensity a little bit. I know that sounds crazy, but I'm going to stick by it. Duran Visual Variant. Oh, hey, Duran. What's going on? You've been here before. What about playing Randall at the 5 and get Capella away from the basket? That sounds great if Randall's going to hit shots, but right now Randall could get open threes if he wants. If Randall wants open threes, they could just set a screen and he could curl around the screen and step into an open three. That's not where they're at right now because he's just not shooting it very confidently. And again, the defensive game plan, for me at least, it has worked because they've given up. Think about the 3 games. In game one, they gave up, what, 107. Game two, they gave up, I think it was 91. Was it 91 or 92 or 93, something? It was in the low 90s. And today they gave up 105. So they're essentially giving up 101 or 102 points per game. I'm actually going to look right now. I would wager that if the Hawks have the best defense in the NBA playoffs. I would wager that the Knicks have the second best defense. Fifth. So the I forgot the Heat were in the playoffs. So the Bucks have the best defense. Nets second, Hawks third, Lakers fourth, Knicks fifth. Knicks are giving up 105.9 points per 100 possessions to the Hawks. I mean, you can't complain about that number. So I feel like the notion of, like, let's play Randall at the five and throw everything else to shit, I have to trust that they're going to figure out a way to get this offense going that doesn't involve abandoning their defensive principles. Not to say that playing Randall at the five can't work defensively. I'm just not ready to go there yet. Let's see where we're at halftime next game. Tyler Michaels, thanks for the optimism, but the Knicks aren't getting good shots. Atlanta creates a quality look nearly every time down the floor. How can we get better looks? Fucking go sign Trae Young. Sign Kawhi Leonard. Trade for Damian Lillard. Who else could we get? I'm being silly. Look, again, it's go back through just literally any playoffs in the history of the NBA and look at the teams who win those series. It's generally speaking, 9 times out of 10, the team with the better shot creator or better shot creators wins the series, because that's what beats game plans. You can't game plan for Trae Young. Trae Young's gonna hit floaters like that. It sucks, and I don't mean to laugh off the question, but you can't good shots are hard to come by in the playoffs. Let's say that. Jeremy Chase, we've been on a season-long heater, and now we're suddenly hitting a cold patch. Guess what? It's 2-1. Very true. One win on Sunday, and it's best of three with two at MSG. We'll be fine. Again, I don't know if we'll be fine, but I do want to say one thing. The Knicks put up 30 threes tonight, and they hit 9. So they're a little under their average. They shot 30% from three. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, if they hit 4 more threes, they win the game, because that's not fair. I think it's the tentativeness. It's the tentativeness and the fact that this is all interconnected. The Hawks are getting out on the shooters quicker, making them think twice. Reggie Bullock has to think twice about firing away. Emmanuel Quickley has to think twice about firing away, which is why you saw Quickley. He's like, I got to get into the lane. I got it, because they're playing up on me, right? They're playing up on me. So either I take a 30-footer or I take what the defense is giving me and try to get into the teeth. And he hasn't produced. And like Reggie Bullock's not getting into the teeth of the defense. I thought Alec Burks could have done more. Yeah, I don't want to – listen – Alec Burks was their best player in game one. He was not great in game two. He was not great again tonight. I thought Alec Burks needed to do a little bit more, but again, there's a reason. I'm not trying to pile on Alec Burks, God knows, but there's a reason that you're able to sign a guy with that skill set to a 1-year, $6 million deal, because for as much as Alec Burks can do, and obviously we have seen him do it a lot this season, and he's been an incredibly important player for them. He's not the most consistent guy. That's the guy that I feel, because RJ doesn't have that skill set yet. Quickley's a rookie, doesn't really have that skill set yet. Rose did what he did. So where's the shot creation going to come from? Burks has been that guy. He was not that guy tonight. He went 2 for 8. It hurt. Okay, let's keep going. Gus, Mac, love your work, but you're out of your mind tonight. Most frustrating night of my life. I don't know how you can be. I mean, I'm frustrated too, but I don't, like, why is this the most frustrating night of your life? Julius can't handle this. I'd bet my life on Atlanta Sunday. I mean, all right. I don't. If you want to say Julius Randle can't handle playoff pressure because of three games, and not really three games. I mean, he was looking pretty good on second half on Wednesday. I don't know. I mean, the man, and just to keep it 100. So Julius Randle tonight took 15 shots. He ended up with 14 points. Obviously, he was 2 for 15. Horrible, 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 horrible. Got to the line 8 times. Okay. Still pulled down 11 rebounds. Like, had a terrible game, but like, I don't know. If you, we must be watching different players. I do not feel like I'm watching a guy who doesn't have another gear in him. He hasn't gotten to that other gear yet. I don't feel like I'm watching that. But we'll see. Maybe you'll be right. Anthony Sixto, outside of Trey, I think the Knicks are a mentally stronger team. We'll find out on Sunday. With everything you mentioned, this is a recipe for a series that can swing hard in our favor at any time. Just takes one win. Takes one win. Go win Sunday. Go win Sunday. It's a new series. It's all it takes. Troy Hendrickson. Have to go small, in my opinion. I'd love to – okay, again, another vote for going small. Not crazy. I'd love to see what Randle can do in open space when Capella actually has to guard someone. Yeah, I mean, again, I'm not there yet, but it's not crazy. It's not crazy. I'm just not there yet. Not there yet. Let's see where we're at halftime. Here's the thing. Tibbs has that in his back pocket. But guys need to hit shot, but it will open up the offense. I'll say that. ML Nair, other than Rose, they were all too hesitant to shoot. Completely agree. They need to stop over dribbling and be decisive on their shots. Yes, 100%. Jonathan Chavarez, would you pay a player that doesn't show up in the playoffs? Is it worth it? Look, if we get to whatever this series ends in, if it ends in 5, if it ends in 6, if it ends in 7, and this is what we have from Julius Randle, I think here's what that does. It makes Julius Randle think twice about accepting the max that the Knicks could give him right now. Because the max that the Knicks could give him right now is it's like 4 years and $120 million or something like that. You know, you pay him an average of $30 million a year, as opposed to what you're going to be able to pay him a year from now, which is like $40 million a year or close to it. I don't know. I still have the faith. It's three games. Sincere the genius. Randle is the engine and the engine check light is on. Very, very good comment. I like that. Chad Cohen, just imagine if we had another Derrick Rose now. That's what we could use. Yeah. And those guys are out there. They're tough to come by. Chad Cohen. That was Chad Cohen's comment. Oh, last one. Okay, and then we're caught up. Did you see Peyton's mother laughing at the team for losing tonight because EP wasn't starting? Bad look on her part and his. I did not see that. I think I follow his mom on Twitter. I don't really give a shit what she says. If she really did that, she could go fuck all the way off. Because, again, I talked about this a little bit on pregame. I don't know the whole story. I don't know the whole story, but I will say unequivocally and with faith in what I have heard, this organization has gone, the organization has gone above and beyond to try to accommodate Elfrid Payton. So if that's a real thing, that she was laughing at the team, just like that's not okay. And I'm gonna hold my words, but that's not okay. Because her son, if it was just based on his play, and this was any other team or any other organization, would have been gone a long fucking time ago. He's been. I don't need to talk about Elfrid Payton. It's the last thing I want to talk about tonight. Or his fucking mother. Kevin McEwen. Tell them all out there to relax. Thank you, Kevin. I mean, Kevin, you're one of the good ones, Kevin. Thank you. do the old Aaron Rodgers, R-E-L-A-X, relax. These are growing pains, in my opinion. Yes, they are. We weren't even supposed to be here. Game four, let's go. I completely agree. Kane Marco, Julius is choking, you could say it. I mean, yeah, I mean, if you want to say he's been choking through three games, that's fine. I guess my only response is I don't feel like because he's kind of choked the first three games that he's going to keep choking. I still believe in this guy. I still believe in this guy. And look, maybe there's going to be egg on my face in a few days. We're going to find out. The last thing I'll say on Julius, like, you know, and again, Nick's apologist here. And then we're going to get out of here. Oh, wait, no. Andrew just texted me. Oh, wow. How'd that work out for you? Proud mama. Yeah, you can go fuck all the way off, hon. Fuck all the way off. I would love someone. Feel free to clip this. Feel free to clip this and tag her or send it to her or DM her. You can go fuck all the way off. I don't know where you could go fuck all the way off to, but go fuck all the way off somewhere fun, because if you're going to fuck all the way off, you might as well have a good time while doing it. There you go. You happy you texted me that picture, Andrew? I hope so. Wow. What a fucking douche. What a fucking douche. Wow. They started your fucking kid when he could not fucking throw the ball in the fucking Hudson River from Chelsea Piers, and you're going to mouth off about this? Oh, my God. Your kid gave up on the fucking court. He gave up. He gave up in front of everybody. He said, I'm done. Proud mama. I hope you're proud. Oh my God. All the way off. I get defending your kid. I'm a father. I get it. I'm a dad. But fucking Christ. This organization did your son a favor. Many favors. Sorry about that, folks. Eugene and Yosa, I hope I pronounced your last name right. Thank you for your generous contribution to the Super Chat. I appreciate it. Eric Fu, LOL, that is not going to be good for the locker room. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea. Oh my God, this is literally as frustrated as I've been all year. Oh my God. All right. All right. I am going to go to sleep or watch. I'm sure there's a game on right now. Who's playing right now? Can somebody tell me who's playing right now? Let's see. Let's find out who's playing right now. Because I don't even know what to say. The Clippers are playing right now. The Clippers are winning by three. And the Celtics are beating the Nets. How about that? I don't know how to feel about that. I don't really care. All right, I'm going to go watch the end of the Clippers-Mavs game. Can't believe it. Hey, talk about things you did not think you would say. Go Mavs. Man. All right. Everybody have a good night, and I will see y'all after the game on Sunday. Adios.